does he think? That God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he and God said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You'll remember that a burnt offering was always a heart offering. And so God was asking Abraham to give up his heart's desire. We look down in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And this scene is very familiar to us. God has asked Abraham for his son Isaac. And we notice that Abraham obeyed immediately. He prepared the wood. Took his son Isaac with him. And they went unto the Mount Moriah. And we think of Abraham's confidence in his God. He believed that God would provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And so he could say to his son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham gave his beloved son, Isaac, as a sacrifice for a family, and God provided the ram. And then the spiritual significance I see in this son being offered is that God was glorified in obedience. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. One of the marks of his sojourn upon this scene was obedience. He obeyed the Father in all things. My delight is to do the will of him that sent me. But then think of the next son. And that is in Exodus chapter 3. And this is Moses. And we know the story of Moses, how Moses was born, and then how he was hid 3 months. When we read in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that both his parents, both his father and his mother, were together in hiding that son. And both his parents were together in offering that son. And so when we read in
Exodus, recording in progress.
When we read in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, we read these words, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. From Hebrews 11, I would gather that both of his parents were united in hiding him for 3 months. They were united in committing him to the hands of the Lord. Because I believe that when they brought him to the palace, they had committed him into the hands of the Lord. And so when we read of Moses' life, we read that for 40 years, he served in the palace. And then for 40 years, he served as a shepherd in the wilderness. And they had given her son that at God's appointed time, he would come forth to deliver his people. And he did. And then for 40 years, Moses served God in the wilderness as he guided the children of Israel from the land of bondage to the land of promise. And really, in this son, I see the fact that God is faithful to what he has promised. For years before, 400 years before, he had promised Abraham that Abraham's descendants would be in that land of bondage. But in the end of 400 years, God would deliver them out of that land of bondage. But I'd like you to turn to the next son that is upon my mind. And that is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now we know this story as well, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now read verse 17 and 18. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now thy for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge or their vow. It's possibly 3 or 4 years previous to this that David had been anointed king. And during those 3 or 4 years, David has faithfully served his father as a shepherd on the hills outside of Bethlehem. And David has also served Saul with honor as a musician. And when he played, the spirit of Saul was calm, and he went. But now the Father has sent him that he would strengthen his brethren. And so he's bringing food for them. But God had more in mind for David than just strengthening his brethren. And we find that David had been sent, and God was going to use him in the valley of Elah to deliver his people from their enemy. And we know how he delivered him. And I think again of David's words to the Philistine. And he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. And we know how David smote the giant. We know how he took that stone, and with his sling he slew the hurled the stone, and it slew, and then he slew the giant. And we see the result, that the giant was slain. But then we sometimes forget that the Philistines were defeated. But the children of Israel rose up and chased after and defeated the Philistines. And really, when I think of the spiritual significance of that son being sent, I see that God showed his great care for his people in providing them with a savior. And David saved his people that day from bondage to the enemy. But then we cannot forget the greatest son that was sent into this world. And I think of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. Many times we read that and we hear those words in worship on a remembrance day. And we read, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we've been remembering already this morning, that he came with the express purpose to save us. We think of how that the words of the angels to Mary were that thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. But then it was to Joseph, that we also have those same words. And in that passage, we're told what that name means. And to Joseph, words, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Savior, Jesus. And I think of this, that every time a person mentioned him as a sojourner on this scene, when they called him by the name Jesus, that they were reminding him that he came to save his people by going to the cross. And when I look through that fourth chapter of 1 John, I find that three times over, we're told that the Father sent the Son. We have it in verse 14. He came to be a Savior. And I think of this, that grace is in view. The grace of God is in view. And then we find it in verse 10. The Father sent the Son to be the propitiation. And we think of that. He sent, bring mercy, give mercy to you and I. And then I think of this in verse 9. He was sent that we might live through him. And it strikes me that what is in view now is peace. And so in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see grace, mercy, and peace being given unto thee. And we think of the Lord's words to us, my peace I give unto thee. Not as the world give I it unto thee. And then this, I think of this, that the God was gracious and loving towards us. We think of that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I think of three other sons that were sent, that were given. And these three other sons really present us principles that are seen in our Lord Jesus Christ and are given unto us. I think of Isaac. Isaac sent Jacob away. And God gave a promise to Jacob. And God could say in Genesis 28:50, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And I see in that we have a spiritual brethren, a principle, that our Lord Jesus will never leave us until he has accomplished that which he has promised unto us. And we think of part of that great prophet, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But then I think of, and I have given them this title, Jonah of Capernaum. For he gave his sons Andrew and Peter to the Lord. And the Lord made this simple request of Peter, feed my sheep. And when we read through Acts, and we read through the epistles of Peter, we find how Peter as feeding the sheep. And I think of this, that here is another principle that God, the Lord, would have us follow, that we would feed the Lord's people, that we would show, teach them the Word of God. But then I think of the last son, and I think of Zebedee, and he gave his sons James and John. And we have their appreciation of the Lord. And John, over and over again, five times over in his gospel, he says, "And the disciple whom Jesus loved." And really, what I have, what is in mind in there, is abiding in Christ. Abide in me. And that was our Lord's desire for us, that we would abide in him. And so we think of these sons whom the fathers have sent for our glory, for our blessing, for our encouragement. We might have now